This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
And we are back. This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and joining me as always is Mr. Matt Caraccio. Matt, welcome back.
Paul, I cannot believe it. We are less than days, moments, hours away from really, even though I know week zero happened, week one of the college football season and NFL season, they're on the horizon. There's just mere moments before crowds and bands gear up for the absolute spectacle that is the game of football.
Absolutely. The college football season obviously kicked off this past weekend, but really Labor Day weekend, Thursday through Monday, we got games to watch, you know, standalone, no NFL. You know, it's so exciting. If people have been following along, we finished up the positional preview shows earlier in the week. We also had the launch of the Saturday to Sunday premium notebooks, which we'll discuss a little bit more later on. But we just kind of wanted to set the stage for what our new podcast format's going to look like during the college football season. If you've been listening over the last couple of years, you know, we often did, you know, week one report, previews and, you know, and then reports after the week and recaps and stuff like that. We're going to mix it up a little bit this year. We're going to stick a little bit more to our bread and butter, which is film analysis, player analysis, prospect analysis. So we've came up with a new format for the college football season. Our show is going to be titled Around the Country, and we are basically going to break it up into four segments. Segment one is going to be the NFL Rookie Report, where we focus in on draft eligible prospects for the 2019 draft class. Talk about some things that stood out in the previous week. Talk about some things we saw on film, some things that jumped off the box score on us, some stock up, stock downs. But any storylines and things that we think are worthy of prospect talk from draft eligible prospects. The second segment is going to be our Devy Slant segment. And that's going to be where we talk about some of the prospects who are underclassmen, sophomores, freshmen, and we're going to even dabble and give you a little treat and talk about some of the top high school players that you're going to be hearing about in the recruiting circle as well. So that second segment is going to be talking about underclassmen who are not draft eligible in 2019 and some high school prospects who are maybe heavily being recruited and are some of the top guys you're going to be hearing about, you know, for the upcoming 2020 college football season. I'm sorry, the 2019 college football season, or even possibly beyond, you know, if it's some high school prospect talk that are even juniors. Then the third segment is going to be the tail of the tape. That is going to be when we take a look ahead at the upcoming week and look for prospect matchups that we're most excited about. This quarterback versus maybe, you know, this secondary or this defensive line, you know, this wide receiver matched up against, you know, this cornerback, this running back against this defensive line or this tight end, you know, specific prospects that we're excited to look at in the matchup they have for the upcoming week. And then the fourth and final segment, it's going to be the NFL Rookie Report, where we talk about, you know, the incoming rookies in the NFL, how they're performing week in and week out, and basically our stock in terms of up, down, are we buying, are we selling, are we holding for your dynasty fantasy football leagues, and what we're making of what we've seen from this rookie class, you know, right off the bat, you know, as they start their NFL careers. So that's going to be kind of the layout. Matt, any thoughts on why we changed this in terms of what we think it could bring to the show?
What we think it's going to bring to the show, honestly, we think it's going to give everybody out there more of what we really do best, which is we really feel like our strength is to look at players, look at context, and tell you how their kind of performance or grades are fluctuating, good, bad, or otherwise, based on what they did over the weekend. And we feel like ultimately, when it comes down to it, we feel like as analysts, as evaluators, as people that are just passionate for performance and evaluation, we feel like looking at those matchups, looking at how those players performed in those matchups is really what people are going to be most interested in, and also something that we think we're going to be most interested in, because this is a labor of love, people. I mean, this is a labor of love. I mean, I don't want to do something that's boring. It's not our specialty, nor is it really within our capabilities or resources to paint a story arc for the entire college football season. I'm sure we'll weave in moments where we'll talk about the story arc of what's going on with a particular team, or we'll look at a particular scheme and how it's evolved over the course of the season. But the whole thing is to take all that information, all that context, and really focus it on how is this player, player X, player Y, player Z, how are they evolving? How are they developing? What does this matchup allow us to maybe investigate further from what we've learned over the preseason to now where we are now in season? How can we learn more about this player, and how does the football season really provide the largest stage and the most important stage for learning about these players? Because I'll take a page out of my man Sean Mishka's book when he said to me, listen, there is no test better than the game itself. You want to know who the best players are? Watch the game. So you know what? That's what we're hoping to do. That's what we're hoping to bring to you each and every episode, from the top draft eligible players to the high school players to the incoming freshmen to the NFL rookies and how they're performing with their new teams now in the National Football League. We intend to kind of give you as much as we can each week.
Yeah, absolutely. And we think this format's going to be a lot of fun, you know, and it's something that we're looking forward to. And hopefully, you know, our listeners really take to it. So let's get right into it. You know, let's start with our first segment, and that's the NFL Rookie Report. And, you know, Matt, let's take a little bit more of a big picture look, because obviously nothing happened. You know, there wasn't enough games to really
analyze. Nay, I say, and I say this only because I think it is important that we take a look at one game that did happen in week zero, and that is what we saw from Colorado State Rams wide receiver Preston Williams. I mean, he had a fantastic game in which he essentially caught 9 balls for 188 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. I didn't have eyes on that game, but that type of line at least makes you pique your interest, because Preston Williams was a player who is not without pedigree. He's a player who came up that we were excited about at the wide receiver position. He was a prospect that was highly recruited. It's a guy that I think is worth keeping your tabs on. So you're right. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say I had eyes on that game, but that stat line at least jumped out to me as, you know what? If that's on replay between now and the beginning of the season, or if I can find it somewhere and look at what happened in that game, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, he was a guy who we had on our draft eligible watch list. He wasn't a guy that we wrote a full player profile up of, you know, but that's a week right away off the bat that you kind of raise your eyebrows and you're like, okay, I'm going to have to take a look at that, you know, and he's a guy that we're going to have to keep close on the radar. And, you know, he might push his way into a guy that says, okay, we got to get him in the notebook. We got to do a full player eval on him.
He's 6'4", 210. I mean, and that's fringe. That's right on the fringe of what we want to see from a physical standpoint for an NFL wide receiver. So it's just a little bit of a note, Paul, as we get into week one. But you're right. Week zero, it really was that was one of the things I wanted to just quickly tease out.
Yeah. And since you brought up Preston Williams, why don't we stay at the wide receiver position? Big picture for this year, you know, obviously we did the wide receiver preview show, so we're not really going to be breaking down film right here of these guys. But, you know, a couple of storylines right off the bat that intrigue me most is obviously the two wide receivers at Ole Miss, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf. I'm fascinated to kind of see, you know, how they play out in terms of, you know, is it a clear one and a clear number two like it was last year? Or does it end up being a little bit more a 1A, 1B type this year, where DK Metcalf, you know, maybe evolves and starts to emerge into the player that I think a lot of people think he can be and has the upside to be? You know, so last year it was a clear one, you know, and then followed by two. I'm intrigued to see if there's a little bit more, you know, similarities in terms of their production, in terms of maybe, you know, how defenses handle those two guys, and to see, you know, how Ole Miss utilizes them in terms of formations. Is AJ Brown strictly inside? You know, do we see him a lot on the outside? I mean, I know he's a guy who's been, you know, really drumming up a lot of interest on Twitter, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, are watching him closely because he's one of the top wide receivers to be following right now, you know, and people are watching with a close eye and, you know, trying to find things, you know, that, you know, maybe, you know, are question marks about his game to really hone in on this year. So, you know, one of them is, can he play on the outside or is he exclusively an inside guy? So that's something with those two guys. Anything with those two guys that really have your interest peaked as this season's getting ready to start?
No, I think that you hit all the major points. I think it's a matter of let's see how those two grow. I mean, let's see how they grow and develop, especially DK Metcalf. I think AJ Brown, we kind of have the book on him and we know what he is. And that's not to slight what he is already. It's just to say that I think we have a good feel for who he is. But I think there's a lot of projections swirling around DK Metcalf that has him, you know, somewhere within the bandwidth of, you know, like potentially a Calvin Johnson type of player. And I mean, we're a long cry from that. So, I mean, I want to see steps in that direction this upcoming season in terms of what he does.
Yeah. And I'll take us to another pair of wide receivers from the same team. And that's from South Carolina, Deebo Samuel and Bryan Edwards. It sounds like Deebo is ready to go. All the medical reports seem to be he's ready to go. He's going to be full throttle for opening week. So that's super excited. I mean, these are two guys that we both have, you know, near the top of our wide receiver rankings. You know, it's going to be fun to watch those two together because they kind of go hand in hand, you know, with what we see out of Jake Bentley this year. Do we see growth? Do we see development in Jake Bentley? And a lot of that will probably go based on, you know, how Deebo Samuel and Bryan Edwards play. You know, those guys will be closely tied together at the hip this year. You know, and I'm most fascinated to see Deebo, and if he stays healthy, how they utilize him. That versatility is so intriguing. You know, I keep coming back to, you know, DJ Moore. If the NFL loved DJ Moore, I think they're going to be really enamored with Deebo Samuel because he offers, you know, so much versatility, so much playmaking ability, but, you know, he's got the size too and frame that I really think, you know, makes him an intriguing wide receiver prospect. And then we've talked about Bryan Edwards. I mean, Bryan Edwards, we're still fully in support of him, as most of the Devy community is, but the National College Football, NFL Draft Knicks, it doesn't seem like Bryan Edwards is getting the love and attention. Do you think that's going to change this upcoming year, though?
Yeah, I think it does change. And I think it changes because I understand why he may end up falling below the radar. A lot of that has to do with potentially his overall production, which wasn't astounding, but was something that was, I think, glossed over because of, you know, when you look at South Carolina and the success they were and were not having at times, I think he kind of fell by the wayside. And I don't know really how it got so egregiously out of whack, because I don't really even necessarily see him in top 10s really anywhere save for a few kind of areas. I do think the market will correct itself. I do think the observations and evaluations will correct themselves. And please, let's not say that we're trying to say that this is the next coming of, you know, of like, you know, AJ Green or anything like that. But Bryan Edwards is more than capable, gifted, and skilled to be one of the top receivers in this class. And Paul, not to kind of, you know, get away from this topic, but maybe to move to a different team, I'm also excited to look at the wide receivers at Louisville. I mean, looking at Jalen Smith and Des Fitzpatrick, two players that we both think are very good, and one player in particular, Des Fitzpatrick, I'm excited to watch how they're going to pretty much kind of, you know, evolve this year. I mean, these guys are both very skilled players, Des Fitzpatrick especially, and they're going to be going up against some really top competition, which we'll get to later in the show, just right off the bat in week one. And the really thing that I'm concerned about, and I'd love your thoughts on this, is they're breaking in basically an entirely new quarterback. And I wonder how that's going to play with the overall kind of growth and skill development curve for these players, because I think you pointed out so articulately in one of our wide receiver shows, there was a lot that you know, that Lamar Jackson did to distort the coverages of teams, and now that's not there anymore. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that, you know, the threat of Lamar running was so concerning to defenses, to, you know, when they made their game plans, when they were on the field, that it really just opened up so much for these wide receivers. And I think these wide receivers are very skilled, and obviously people already know our takes on some of these guys, you know, but I think it's going to be fascinating to watch these wide receivers as they do bring in and work in a new quarterback and a different offense, probably in terms of, you know, what the quarterback's going to bring to the table. So it's going to be really fun to watch that. It's intriguing how there's like three pairs just there. The Ole Miss guys, the South Carolina guys, and then Louisville as well. Just a couple other wide receivers real quick that stand out to me. Riley Ridley out of Georgia. Does he take the next step this year and emerge as the alpha dog in that wide receiving, you know, group? It's going to be fun to watch. Paris Campbell at Ohio State. Dwayne Haskins, a quarterback that could really, you know, throw the ball, push the ball vertically down the field. I think he's going to be as good of a passer as Ohio State's had in quite some time. Do we see a little bit of a breakout out of Paris Campbell, the guy who's been more of a manufactured touch type guy than a true wide receiver? I'm going to be following that closely. Colin Johnson, you know, Tom Herman's second year at Texas. Does the offense start to get rolling a little bit more in year two? Do we see a Colin Johnson breakout? He's got a lot of, you know, he checks off a lot of boxes in terms of size, athleticism, stuff like that. So do we see him, you know, develop this year? And then a guy, you know, one or two other guys, you know, Chase Claypool from Notre Dame. I know, you know, he's a guy that you've been talking up. I'm really excited to see, you know, if he gets the opportunity in that Notre Dame offense. Do they pass enough to get to give him an opportunity to really, you know, show what type of player he is going to be something I'm following closely. And then David Sills out of West Virginia, obviously he's going to get a chance to play with Will Grier. Can he follow up that elite statistical year last year with another one? And will it matter in terms of how he does in terms of what the NFL might think of him? Because I know me and you have some legitimate questions about him. So those are just a couple other things. Any other names, one or two, you want to bring up real quick, or anything you want to expand upon in terms of I brought, or you want to take it to another position?
No, I think the only thing I want to add to that is I also think Miami. Miami is a team to watch because Miami has a very deep and gifted running back, wide receiver core, you know, along with Amon Richards, along with Lawrence Cager, who's now healthy this year. I like Cager a lot. He's a player that you want to watch. So Amon Richards, Lawrence Cager, that wide receiver core runs deep. And last but not least, I just want to comment on Riley Ridley and that whole situation in Georgia. Those wide receivers, again, I hope everybody remembers, Demetrius Robertson, who transferred from Cal, is now eligible this year. He's playing. Demetrius Robertson, I mean, you talk about, you know, players that could light the powder keg that is Georgia football and kind of propel them at the next level to a college football championship. Demetrius Robertson has that skill set and that trait set. So just be aware of all those things as we watch. So, yeah, Paul, moving on to maybe a different position. You know, I'm going to start, you know what, I'm going to start at the quarterback position. Let's talk about quarterbacks, because I think it's always about the quarterbacks every season, right? I'm really, really interested to see how this quarterback class begins to shake itself out, because I really do believe that this quarterback class, from a draft perspective, I think there's Herbert, Stidham, we could put them in their own tier, and then there's just a lot extra that we're not sure about. Brian Lewerke, we could talk about Jordan Te'amu, we could talk about a lot of guys that fit that kind of profile. I'm interested to see how that next tier begins to shake itself out. I'm interested to see who's going to be the next guy in the kind of clubhouse behind those two. And I'm not trying to say they're going to automatically maintain and show that they are the best, but there's Mackenzie Milton kind of lingering out there. People are really excited about him. Does Will Grier continue to develop now in his second full year? These are some storylines about the quarterbacks that I think around the country, starting from week one, I want to know, I want to see how these guys develop. What do you think about the quarterback position?
Yeah, I mean, everything you said there about the top guys, I think makes complete sense. I think Herbert, Stidham are right there. I think Locke and Grier are right behind them. But then I really think there's so much that is going to shake itself out this upcoming college football season in terms of Ryan Finley and Lewerke, and does Fitzgerald show growth? Does Jake Bentley show growth? What about Shea Patterson at Michigan? You know, Jordan Te'amu the whole year at Ole Miss. But two guys who I kind of wanted to bring up right here you know, because they were named starting quarterbacks for their team. And that's DeAndre Francois at Florida State. And then also in the ACC at Clemson, Kelly Bryant held off the freshman to start the year. You know, those are two things that I really want to monitor closely, because we've talked a lot about Francois, so I won't get into his game, but it's going to be really intriguing to see him running Willie Taggart's offense and how different that offense is compared to what he was running under Jimbo Fisher. And then Kelly Bryant, I thought, did a solid job last year, but I think everyone thought he was just kind of like, you know, all, you know, spring game and, you know, all the time.
People thought he was going to heal over and die. I think that's what they thought. Yeah. I think after the spring game, everybody was like, oh, God.
He was just coming home. Exactly. It was just, you know, you know, basically them saying, like, making the freshman earn his stripes a little bit. You know, and Dabo just didn't want to give the job to the freshman, but everyone is kind of, I think, assumed that Lawrence was going to take the job and run with it by the time the season started. And now I think he's got a little bit more of a vibe of like Alabama last year. You know, Jalen Hurts was the starter, and he held on to that job until the second half of the national championship game. And Clemson is so talented. I wouldn't be stunned if this is something like that. I think Kelly Bryant could hold the job for a lot longer than people might think. And then there might come that moment where he takes him as far as he could. And all of a sudden, Dabo says, I got to put the kid in there. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch that. You know, so how does Francois look in a totally different scheme? And then how long does Kelly Bryant hold off the freshman sensation Trevor Lawrence? Are two things at the quarterback position that really have me excited to follow.
Yeah, I don't really want to add too much to that. I think that that's one of the big storylines. I think Jake Fromm, Justin Fields, I think there's a little bit more certainty as to how that's going to shake out. But I do think that there's quarterback competitions abound as you look throughout. I mean, Nick Saban named, going back to, you know, going back to what happened in Alabama, Nick has basically come out and said, you know, Tua Tagovailoa and both of those characters, they're going to be co-starters, you know, and he's naming them co-starters. And I wouldn't be shocked if Kelly Bryant takes a back seat in game one, actually in the second half, and we don't see Trevor Lawrence come in. So, I mean, I think the starter moniker says something about the overall confidence and or if you want to say seniority of the player that is the incumbent. But I'm not entirely sure in a lot of these co-starter positions that they're going to be treated as the sole starter. I think you're going to see, you know, I think you're going to see Tua Tagovailoa, he's going to cede playing time at some point in a game. I do think that you're going to see potentially Kelly Bryant cede some time in the playing, so that way Trevor Lawrence gets some. Because remember, Paul, right, you're allowed to play four games and still maintain your redshirt freshman tag. So these guys can still be redshirted even if they play four games. So don't guys, people that are fans of the quarterback position, don't forget about the four-game freshman rule, right? They're allowed to play four games and still maintain their redshirt eligibility. That's going to play a lot of games in you know, inside of, you know, campuses, especially when there are going to be two very talented quarterbacks, you know, in the backfield, like Alabama, you know, like Clemson. You know, there's I really believe there's going to be some of that stuff happening.
Yeah, I mean, 100% agree. That's going to be something we got to follow closely. And, you know, we'll almost have to keep a tally as it gets closer to the year. How many times has this guy played a game? So let's finish off this segment with a couple of real quick running back and tight end thoughts. I think at the running back position, we've already said that we think Rodney Anderson, David Montgomery, and Damian Harris are at the top of that list. Can anybody push their way into that mix in terms of draft stock, draft status? You know, obviously you have the guys like Bryce Love and Myles Gaskin and Justice Hill, all, you know, significantly, you know, smaller in size and stature, you know, great collegiate production. I think those guys, especially a guy like Bryce Love, do we see anything in the receiving game? Most important thing from Bryce Love this whole year. You know, Myles Gaskin, I think we know who he is. Same thing with Justice Hill. So I think it's, you know, can anybody push those top three guys? Do we get any clarity amongst those top three guys? You know, how does Oklahoma's offense look without Baker, but Kyler Murray in there at quarterback? Does Damian Harris take, you know, is it end up being a 50-50 with Najee Harris, or does he really dominate more like a 70-30 touch load? I think there's some interesting things to follow there. And then Miles Sanders out of Penn State. How does he do now with the job, you know, the lead dog there now that Saquon Barkley's gone? Do we see Demaryius Crockett bounce back, you know, after a short, you know, short season last year due to injury? I think those are the biggest storylines at the running back position for me. And then at tight end, we just most recently did that. I'm going to go back to two guys, Isaac Nauta and Alzi Mack. Do we see growth and development out of those two guys who were highly recruited, guys that we've been talking about that have been on the Devy radar for years and years? Do we see either two of those guys emerge, you know, and push their way up to, you know, where Noah Fant is right now, the clear, you know, cut, you know, number one tight end prospect in next year's class? Because I think the tight end class has a lot of shaking out to do in terms of, you know, how that position could ultimately play itself out. And then a guy I'm excited to see, because he's been getting a lot of pub and I don't really know much about him because there was very limited film, so people must have access to some other stuff, is Dawson Knox out of Ole Miss, a junior tight end who is getting a lot of publicity as a guy who can really emerge and rise this year. So those are my running back, tight end. Anything you kind of want to expand upon or add to there, Matt?
No, I actually think all that stuff is actually great. And if possible, I was wondering if we can kind of move on from here and take a little bit of a Devy slant and take a look at something else that's going on. But Paul, before we get to that, you got a quick word from one of our sponsors.
Yes. So if you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league, well, look no further and download SquadQL. It's the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? The app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season. Head over to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by 100,000 DFS players. You could also download RotoQL for free for both Apple and Android. So Matt, second segment at Devy Slant. Take us through some underclassmen who you're most excited about this year, you know, that could break out and we really need to have on your radar. You know, is there a couple guys, you know, that right away jump out at you?
So I'm going to go ahead and talk about a couple of different games here and take a look at some of the players that are going to be big time names in that game. And there's some matchups that I really like when you talk about some underclassmen. Specifically, I wanted to look at really one of the marquee games, which is the Michigan-Notre Dame game. And I think there's a lot of Devy prospects galore and underclassmen to really kind of pay attention to. I'm going to start on the Michigan side. One player that I'm really interested in seeing is Donovan Peoples-Jones. I want to see how he develops. I mean, he's 6'2", 208. We talked about his basic profiles and traits coming in as a freshman, and he had a good season. He had a great season, and now I want to see if he takes the next step forward. I mean, now with a quarterback like Shea Patterson in the backfield, how does Donovan Peoples-Jones really kind of develop? Does he take the next step forward? We know Notre Dame has one of the better defenses preseason. That's at least what they're being heralded as having one of the better defenses this season. So it'll be nice to see if Donovan Peoples-Jones takes that next step. Another player in that game that I'm interested in seeing is, and I've talked about him already, I think Cole Kmet is already situating himself potentially as one of the top tight ends in this country going into next season in terms of draft eligible prospects. And I think Cole Kmet on Notre Dame side, I think seeing how he's going to play against Michigan and what he's going to be used for, I think is going to be very interesting. They're already talking about him potentially being the primary starter over Alizé Mack, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to go to two tight end sets. So I'd like to see how Cole Kmet really kind of situates himself and separates himself in this game? Does he distance himself? Does he show? Does he explode? What does he look like in this game? Another player that that's kind of on my radar from an underclassman standpoint is actually another game that I'm actually really interested in seeing. And it's not a game that I think is really going to be, you know, heralded as being the number one game by any means. But I think in terms of kind of being back on the radar, being ready to go, being the, you know, the teams that we want to watch, I'm excited to go ahead and watch the Cornhuskers take the field. And there are two underclassmen in that Cornhusker backfield for offense that I'm interested in looking at. First of all, let's start right at the quarterback position. Adrian Martinez, the true freshman, is going to get the nod in Scott Frost's debut at Nebraska, and he's going to get that nod. And I mean, looking back at what he did in the All-Star games as a high school player, you know, I thought he was interesting from an athletic standpoint. I thought he showed good ability to move, you know, inside the pocket and also extend the play outside the pocket. I thought he showed a nice job, you know, really distributing the football and throwing from different angles. I thought that was his best trait. I think he moved through his reads quickly. I think he was a fast distributor of the football. I don't think by any means he had classic mechanics, but that's not something that I'm terribly worried about, because his ability to throw on and off platform, his ability to throw from different angles were really intriguing. And I'm also interested in seeing what they do in the backfield. We know Trey Bryant, I think, has kind of retired, and he's going to be pursuing other elements moving forward, which leaves the door open for Maurice Washington, another all-star standout who's got this really, really nice blend of athleticism, both as a receiver and as a runner. Does he make an impact? Does he go up and make an impact in week one? So I don't care who they're playing. They're true freshmen. If they end up playing well, that's a real big feather in their cap. And as we kind of move on outside of this, I'm interested in watching T. Higgins at Clemson. I want to see how he performs. Really big game for him. He looked like a stud in the making when it came to the spring game. Does T. Higgins and the Clemson offense kind of hold serve and look great? And of course, I'm going to tell you one about a game that, you know, I know we're going to talk about this game a little bit later, but I'm excited to see Jerry Jeudy. I want to see Jerry Jeudy, and I want to see what Tua Tagovailoa, if he ends up being the starter for the whole game. I mean, eyes on Alabama in that game in terms of seeing what their skill players can do. Paul, there's so many underclassmen to talk about, but I mean, I thought those were some of the guys that just kind of piqued my initial interest, and I'm sure we could kind of I'm sure we can go into great length on others as well. I'll even give you one more bonus one. I think Lorenzo Lingard out in Miami, I'd like to see what he does. There's a lot of words out there that he might spell Travis Homer when needed. So that'll be interesting to see if the young man gets there. And Brevin Jordan, of course, on Miami. He's the true freshman tight end that's going to be starting. That's a pretty big thing when you talk about Miami. They are, of course, tight end U. By many reports, they're considered tight end U. So Brevin Jordan is a guy I love. So I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, I mean, I think you did a great job there talking about some underclassmen in terms of their matchups this week. If I take it from a little bit more big picture for the season outlook, I'm looking forward to the running back position in particular with these underclassmen. So many elite level talents, you know. See Cam Akers this year in Florida State. Obviously, things went off the rails so quickly last year for Florida State. Once Francois went down, you know, that offense never really can get going. How does Akers look this year? How big of the pie does DeAndre Swift get in the Georgia backfield? Obviously, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb gone, a lot of other great backs there, you know, as well. But, you know, how much does DeAndre Swift, because I think he might be the most naturally talented player in all of college football in terms of what he can do as a running back. You know, obviously also at Ohio State, you got J.K. Dobbins. You know, what does the workload look like for Dobbins when Mike Weber also there? You have Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin, massive workload last year. Do we see that again? Wisconsin's offensive line, as usual, is loaded. So Jonathan Taylor should be in for a huge year. You got Stephen Carr at USC. You got Travis Etienne at Clemson. You got A.J. Dillon at Boston College. You know, all of these guys, you know, could be focal points of their team's ground game, you know, and it's going to be really fun to kind of watch these guys. You know, I mentioned Najee Harris before, you know, how much is he, you know, tag team with, you know, Damian Harris in the Alabama backfield. There's so many great running back prospects that really have me fascinated. Matt, any quick thoughts on those running backs before we give you some other guys?
No, as we kind of close out this particular, you know, this particular segment, there's a couple other guys that I would just point to you specifically in the backfield. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU is a very interesting player. He's 5'9", 212. He's a guy that I talked, or at least I studied a lot in the spring, and I got a chance to watch a lot of, and he's extremely, extremely elusive and skilled as a runner. And there is nothing that LSU likes to do more than run the football. So I expect him to get a lot of work, and he's a guy that I am very, very interested in seeing how that kind of manifests itself as we move forward. One other name to just keep in mind, I think obviously looking at the Auburn Tigers, I think we can always assure ourselves that the Auburn Tigers are going to have, you know, a very solid, solid team. In terms of running backs, Jatarvius Whitlow is a player that I absolutely love. Whitlow was a guy who jumped off the screen in the spring games. He's 6'2", 216. Whitlow looked every bit as dynamic of a running back as you would want to see. Now, he may not be perfect, but he's an interesting player to kind of keep in mind. Paul, any other final comments to add?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a couple of wide receivers before. You mentioned T. Higgins. You mentioned, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think we can keep an eye on the real youngsters, Justin Shorter out of Penn State and Terrence Marshall Jr. at LSU. I know those are two guys that you're very high on. How quickly do they emerge in their teams, you know, receiving corps? At the tight end position, you know, we've talked about him on the tight end preview show. Hunter Bryan out of Washington, you know, Colby Parkinson out of Stanford are two guys. And you obviously mentioned the true freshman at Miami who we should have on our radar. So there's a couple underclassmen tight ends that we should be following closely. And then at the quarterback position, we already talked about Jake Fromm. We couldn't get through this segment without bringing up JT Daniels at a USC. I remember you telling me about him from back in January, you know, when the high school all-star games were going on, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong,
but 17 or like 18. He should be a senior in high school right now.
Yeah.
And
it sounds like he has the job, right?
Yeah. No, he has the job. So think about this. He's foregoing his senior prom this year to start for USC.
Yeah, that's just crazy. I mean, just think about some of the names. Like, the college football is just loaded with really high-level prospects at all different levels. You know, we just mentioned some of the underclassmen, sophomores and freshmen, that really have our interest peaked. You know, that's just the underclassmen guys. They're not even draft eligible until, like, 2020, you know, some of these guys, you know, like, or 2021 for some of these guys. So it's going to be fun to kind of, you know, see these progress and development over the next couple of years. So Matt, before we go to the tail of the tape and look at a little bit more of the matchups from this upcoming week, basically the first week of college football season, share a word from our other sponsor, the Quant Edge.
You know, context is really important to us. And when you talk about the quantedge.com, context is what they give you hand over fist. With the quantedge.com, you have the tools you need to play like a pro. With a lineup optimizer, an injury tool, wide receiver cornerback matchups tool, and head-to-head tool, you will be armed with everything that you need to win. Make up to 150 lineups in seconds, get a true understanding of player value, see the week's matchups to exploit ahead of time, and compare two players to help you make the decision that you are on the fence about at thequantedge.com. Now, it doesn't stop there with groundbreaking tools. They have over 10 industry experts on staff, and you also get exclusive access to over 20 articles and podcasts a week. And you can even join the TQE community by participating in the premium membership tab. Here at SaturdaySundayFootball.com, we've got a nice offer for you to help getting your kind of foot in the door a lot more meaningful and appetizing. If you use our promo code S2SEDGE, that's right, the letter S, the number 2, and the letter S followed by the word EDGE, all one together, you'll get 10% off your season-long prescription. Again, if you use our promo code S2SEDGE, you will get 10% off a season-long subscription. Again, I can't say enough about their tools. They really do add a layer of intrigue. They really have already begun to impact me in terms of the way I'm watching some players this upcoming season, because they give you information that just make evaluation and things of that nature a lot more easier as well. So I think there's a lot to be said for everything that they provide. Definitely check them out at thequantedge.com.
Yeah, so let's take this over to the tail of the tape. That's our third segment where we kind of look at this week's upcoming games in terms of, you know, prospects that we're most intrigued to, you know, watch this weekend for a variety of different reasons. And I'll get it started with, you know, and there's actually a bunch in this game. So I'll mention the game. It's one of the bigger games of this upcoming weekend, and that's Washington versus Auburn. We're talking two top 10 teams and a whole bunch of prospects that I'm fascinated to see. You know, Jake Browning is a quarterback who, you know, again, I have my questions about how he translates to the NFL level. But right off the gate here, we're going to get to see him go up against a great defense there at Auburn. You know, the Pac-12, SEC, you know, very different styles and schemes in terms of the level of defenses that Browning and the rest of his offensive players are used to, you know, at Washington in terms of, you know, who they normally go up against in the Pac-12. So right off the bat, they have Auburn. How does Browning look against that team? And how does Myles Gaskins look? Because, you know, that they're going to go as far as those two can take them. You know, can Gaskins get going on the ground against this, you know, really stout Auburn defense? You know, I think it's going to be important to get him in space, you know, try to get him to utilize that quickness and agility that he has, you know, and can Browning avoid the big mistake and, you know, and use his mobility and his athleticism, you know, to make some plays against that defense. So those are two guys I'm really fascinated to watch, you know. And then on the flip side, how's Jared Stidham and the Auburn crew look, you know, against Washington? You know, Jared Stidham, obviously, you know, transferred from Baylor. We saw him last year at Auburn. You know, he's running a scheme that I don't think suits him best. But listen, look at the success Auburn had last year. You know, so in his second year now at Auburn, does he look more comfortable? Do we see them tweak the scheme a little bit to maybe cater a little bit more to his skill set? You know, I think he's one of the top quarterback prospects in the country. So I'm fascinated to see him in his first appearance of the season against a top 10 team, you know, and how he looks and how that whole offense looks. And has it been changed at all to cater a little bit more at times to Stidham's skill set, or is it still, this is our offense, you know, we're running it and Stidham's going to be the guy running it? So those are a couple intriguing prospects in terms of their matchups this week that I'm really excited to watch. Matt, do you have a player or a game with a handful of guys that you said, I can't wait to watch these?
Yeah, I'm going to go right to the next game that most intrigues me, and that game is really going to be, I can't avoid it any longer. I'm going to say Notre Dame, Michigan, and we talked about it earlier. That's one of the big games that really intrigues me this upcoming weekend, just because I think this is an opportunity to see Shea Patterson finally kind of test his mettle against a team that already has a very well-known defense this year, and that's Notre Dame. I want to see what Shea Patterson does. He's the player that I'm looking at. I want to see how he performs against that secondary, and I want to see what he looks like in terms of distributing the football to his playmakers. I want to see what Shea Patterson looks like. I also really want to see on the other side of the football, like I said, I want to see how Chase Claypool plays for Notre Dame. I want to see, and you spoke about that earlier, I think Chase Claypool's performance against Michigan's defense is going to be interesting to see, and I want to see how that develops as well. So that game in particular, and Alize Mack, of course, but that game in particular, I think Shea Patterson, Chase Claypool, Alize Mack, those are the players that immediately stand out to me as players that I want to see go up against each other.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just going to keep it going because I think you brought up all the guys there that intrigued me most. And then what about Louisville, Alabama? I mean, we already talked about those Louisville wide receivers, you know, building in, you know, working in a new quarterback, maybe a different offensive scheme. And what do you got first game of the season? Alabama at Alabama, you know, so like, you know, that is a game that I think is going to be fascinating to watch. How does Des Fitzpatrick look against that elite Alabama secondary? How does Jalen Smith look, you know, against, you know, that secondary? How does, you know, how does everyone on the Louisville side of the offense, how did they fare against that defense, which is completely loaded again? And then on the flip side, the Alabama quarterbacks, is it Tua? Is it Jalen Hurts? You know, and then the workload at the running back position, you know, is it Damian Harris, Najee Harris, and even split? Or is there a little bit more skewed to,
maybe we might see a little Brian Robertson. Joshua Jacobs might make an appearance, right?
Yeah, and you know, you brought him up, Jerry Jeudy. Does he really emerge as the go-to guy there in the wide receiver corps? Because if it is Tua, you know, we're going to see a different Alabama offense than we're used to when it used to be pound the rock, pound the rock, pound the rock, you know, only really pass when you had to. Because if it's Tua there, yeah, you're going to see Damian Harris and Najee Harris and those guys run behind that offensive line, but you're going to see a lot more vertical passing. You're going to see a lot more intermediate down the field shots, you know, so it really makes for Jeudy to be very intriguing and the rest of that Alabama receiving corps, you know, based on who the quarterback is. So that really has me excited to watch that game. Matt, any final thoughts? I know there's a couple of really good games on Sunday night and Monday night, Miami versus LSU and then Virginia Tech versus Florida State. Anybody maybe in those matchups that kind of pique your interest in terms of prospects?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, just to finish off Alabama, also Irv Smith. I mean, there's a tight end that we're really excited to see. I'd like to see if he's used at all. Yeah, going right into the Miami-LSU game, I mean, I think there's several players here. I think in terms of LSU, I think LSU is always going to bring the talent on defense, and they're always going to be a difficult matchup. So I'm very interested to see how this deep wide receiving core of Miami really goes up against LSU. Specifically, I'm talking to you, Aman Richards. I want to see you take that next step as well. I think you're a very gifted, maybe one of those players that could emerge as one of the top wide receivers in the country, even though right now I think there's some more things I'd like to see from you. I think this is the amazing time to do it. You're going to be basically by yourself Sunday against one of the top kind of recruiting factories of DBs in the country, that is LSU, and you're going to have an opportunity to really show what you can do. Lawrence Cager is another player that I'm very excited to see as well. And like I said, on the LSU side, in terms of, you know, draft eligible prospects, there's not as many, but Foster Moreau and I forget his first name, but Pettigrew, those two together, Pettigrew at tight end and Foster Moreau, are two guys that I really want to see how they're used and leveraged in those situations, because we got Burrows at quarterback, so we'll see if he really adds a dimension to their pass offense, or if it's more the same, or are we just running the football? Is he really going to be throwing the football? We'll see how it goes. But that matchup is really, really interesting from a receiving and tight end standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is going to be fun. You know how excited I am for that Florida State game. Willie Taggart, new offense, really looking forward to seeing how they look, how Francois looks coming back from that injury last year. So I'm ready for weekend. I'm ready for the weekend. Let's get this college football started. I love that. It starts on Thursday night and goes straight through to Monday. Standalone for college football. I love it. So before we transition to the last segment of the night, the NFL Rookie Report, we just wanted to talk again about the Saturday to Sunday football premium notebooks. They launched this week. For $9.99, you get access to four notebooks. The first one is the 2019 scouting notebook, which is our player profiles, which is from all our film analysis that we've been doing this summer. It already has profiles for 16 quarterbacks, 25 wide receivers, 20 running backs, and 12 tight ends. The beauty of it is it's going to be updated throughout the year, and then a big update after the college football season. We will continue to add, you know, more prospects to the list as we deem fit. Like we already started talking about Preston Williams. I know you're planning on getting profiles up there on, you know, David Sills and Jalen Smith as well. You know, I just added Brian Lewerke this morning, you know, so we will continue to update those guys and add more guys to the mix, you know, during the college football season. After the season, we basically convert that to an offensive draft guide, you know, for the 2019 NFL draft as well. It is the perfect complement to all our discussion and analysis on these prospects. The second notebook is the rankings notebook. You know, that gives you our draft eligible rankings, our Devy rankings, our freshman rankings, and our dynasty rookie rankings, you know, overall big boards updated throughout the year. The third notebook is the freshman notebook, which are player profiles in the top 40 or 50 incoming freshmen, you know, for next college football season, an overall big board as well, you know, rankings by position. And then the fourth and final notebook is the draft projections notebook, which has a tab for every offensive and defensive skill position, you know, all their, you know, combine measurements, their metrics, NFL draft projection, you know, best position at the next level. And it's organized by the way I expect it to go. So not our takes, but put in all the resources that I can find from the best in the industry and trying to predict how it will take place, you know, in that 2019 NFL draft. It also includes a top 32, top 100, and top 256 tab. To buy it, please head over to SaturdaySundayFootball.com, click the premium content tab, and you can purchase it there, and you'll get an email giving you guide instructions on how to get access to all four notebooks. So it is the best way to support the show and help us grow and continue to do what we're doing for you. So let's transition this to the final segment of the night, and that is the NFL rookie report. You know, obviously three preseason weeks in the books, week four, just really, you know, a lot of backups and reserves playing as teams do not really want to put their starters in harm's way. You know, but since we last talked about these rookies, a lot really has changed in the landscape. You know, quickly, if we go through it, the quarterback position, you know, it seems like Sam Darnold might be the only one that actually starts from day one. And I think that's a little bit of a curveball. You know, I think we thought maybe there was a shot Baker Mayfield, who's looked really good in preseason, but so is Tyrod Taylor. So he's going to have to wait it out. Lamar Jackson clearly behind Joe Flacco, but Lamar Jackson's had some good and bad this off preseason as well. We've seen that athleticism make big plays. We've seen some inconsistency in the passing game. I think that's what we expected. You know, going back to Baker Mayfield for a second, the thing I saw on film this, you know, preseason, again, his ability to play off structure, move around in the pocket, buy himself some time, keeping his eyes upfield. I think that's already translated to the next level, and you can see that. And it's just a matter of when he takes that job. Josh Rosen in Arizona, I think he's still squarely behind Sam Bradford to start the year, but has a shot. You know, and then the other wild card, in addition to Sam Darnold, who I already talked about, I think he's going to be a starter, and he's shown his ability to play off structure, move around in the pocket. I still want to see Darnold take a few more chances vertically down the field. But, you know, I'm surprised the Jets are going to throw him in the mix, but he does seem like he's ready to handle it. And then there's Josh Allen. You know, is he going to start for Buffalo? Their offensive line is poor. They lack playmakers. You know, it's going to be fascinating to see if he starts, you know, what that does to him in terms of, are they rushing him in there? AJ McCarron suffered an injury. So do they hand the reins over to Josh Allen, who has shown some good? He's shown the ability to make some tight window throws like we knew he can. He showed his athleticism that I think is comparable to a guy like Ben Roethlisberger when Roethlisberger was young, or more recently a Cam Newton style player. But he still has also shown that inconsistency in terms of his accuracy, you know, reading fields, reading coverages, and, you know, decision-making, speeding up that internal clock, so to speak. So those are the big five quarterbacks. We're going to be talking about them frequently in the NFL rookie report. And then obviously on the back burner, guys like Mason Rudolph and Kyle Uletta, probably, you know, third string this upcoming year. Matt, any quick thoughts on those rookie quarterbacks? Are you surprised that Darnold and Allen might be the two that are going to start from day one and not some, you know, not Rosen or Mayfield, who we thought were maybe more pro ready to step on the field?
No, I mean, to each his own. Every depth chart and every team is different. This is why making analysis in a vacuum is really hard, and it's very hard for us to do that. But I think when you look at where their teams are at and what they need from these players, I guess it makes sense. I mean, listen, New York is desperately in need of a quarterback. So Sam Darnold was the guy they went after. They took him. He really hasn't been anything but, you know, a rookie. I mean, really his first, you know, few preseason games. I don't think he's been, you know, horrendous. And Josh Allen, I mean, listen, you already alluded to it. He has that ability to extend the play, run, and create yards with his legs. And I think that's where Buffalo is really hoping that he's going to be at least serviceable on any down and any distance because of that threat that he brings to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if we just take this right over to the running back position, man, oh, man, if you are a rookie running back, you know, it has not been a good preseason for the running back class of 2018. At the top, Saquon Barkley's missed the good majority of preseason with a hamstring injury. Sounds like he'll be ready to go, though, for week one. But after that, I mean, Sony Michel has missed time due to injury, you know, a little bit of a crowded backfield there in New England. How quickly does he emerge and take a significant role there? Darius Geis, unfortunately, tore his ACL and is out this season. Kerryon Johnson has shown some big plays in preseason, shown the ability to catch the ball, but he's in a crowded depth chart right now with LeGarrette Blount, Ameer Abdullah, and Theo Riddick. We'll see if Detroit cuts any of them with, this upcoming weekend, a lot of NFL cuts to get down to the 53-man rosters. But Johnson might be a guy who is definitely a part of a committee this year, but it'll be might take some time before he really emerges to be a force in that backfield, especially in terms of fantasy production. Nick Chubb had a really horrendous first preseason game, but we started to see in the last couple games that contact balance, that strength to absorb contact, to, you know, punish defenders, break tackles, you know, those strong legs always churning. We've seen that out of Chubb the last couple of weeks, but Carlos Hyde has looked really good. So I think Nick Chubb is squarely going to be, you know, behind him in the depth chart for the early going. Ronald Jones has had a horrendous preseason. Issues with drops, issues in pass protection, and then just, you know, has not been able to get anything going on the ground game. You know, right now, Peyton Barber clearly ahead of him. I think a lot of these people thought, you know, Jones was going to be a guy that was going to, you know, be the workhorse, you know, in like a 15 to 16 carry type way, at least from the first week of the season. And that clearly is not what it is right now. Rashard Penny, similar situation. He's battled an injury in training camp and preseason. Chris Carson has looked really good there, so Penny is behind him on the depth chart. Penny might be back by week one, but I think he's going to start out slow as well. You know, so all of those guys, the only guy really I think has seen his stock improve dramatically in preseason is Royce Freeman, who's looked really good for Denver, combined with Devontae Booker not looking so good. I think they're going to probably start out in a pretty 50-50 type committee. And I think we potentially would Freeman getting more of the short yardage and goal line work. And I think you could see Freeman emerge there sooner rather than later and really seize control in like a 70-30 type, committee there in that backfield. So I think he's a guy that's looked good. And then after that, Kalen Ballage, we haven't really heard much from him. Naheem Hines has struggled, you know, significantly in terms of drops, pass protection. Jordan Wilkins has made a little bit of noise. He might have to start there for the Colts, so he's got to have at least a stock up a little bit right now for opportunity. Chase Edmonds and John Kelly way down on the radar because they're, you know, playing second fiddle to Todd Gurley and David Johnson have both looked really strong. If anything was to happen to David Johnson or Todd Gurley, I think both of those guys could squarely jump right into the mix as starting running backs for each of those teams. So those guys have been impressive. Mark Walton really has struggled. There's some rumors that he might be on the cutting block, and he was a fourth round pick. They'll probably hold on to him, but he has not looked good. And then a couple undrafted guys that have really emerged. Philip Lindsay in Denver is fighting to be the third running back on that roster, change of pace receiving guy. Mike Boone and Rock Thomas have both, you know, had some big weeks in Minnesota, two really good athletes. And then also Sean Wilson in Tampa Bay might push Jaquizz Rodgers off of the roster as that, you know, third down change of pace type guy. You know, they lost Charles Sims due to an injury as well. So Matt, any thoughts on the running back position that has just been decimated by either injuries, depth charts, you know, or lack of production in the early going here of their NFL careers?
No, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Ronald Jones is a player that out of all the ones you just listed, I'm probably the most surprised at. But, you know, I mean, I think there's a couple of things that people that I ask that people consider when evaluating how far to push players down and whether or not to draft them and the whole nine yards that goes along with that. I do think immediate draft capital and playing time should really speak volumes about your confidence. Now, Does that mean that you should wager what you know now for the entire kind of landscape or spectrum of what outcomes could look like for them? Meaning just because they're not playing now, does that mean they're useless for forever? I don't think so. And I think a player like Ronald Jones is the one I would be most cautious about. I would not just say Ronald Jones is useless. When you watch a lot of those games and you watch a lot of the opportunities that he had and the types of fronts and surfaces he was running against, he wasn't inept carrying the football in terms of the decisions that he made, in terms of the skillful cuts that he made, in terms of the way he saw the field. He was not inept. It wasn't like he was just completely over his head. The problem is that when you're a vertical deep passing game that basically makes its money off play action, like Tampa Bay does, you know, it's hard when you don't have a player that can climb the back of, you know, your offensive guard and push for 4 yards. When you don't have a player that's like that, it's hard for your passing attack to stay on time. That's not Ronald Jones's game. It wasn't his game at USC, and it's not going to be his game in the NFL. He's a guy who needs to be able to run in space. You need to have spread it out, give him some options and some running lanes, let him use what he can do in the open field, let his space manipulation come to life, and let him be able to create with his speed. You cannot come out in 22 personnel and basically try to run on a 5-man surface, and when it gets clogged, get 4 yards out of him. That's not his game. That's more Peyton Barber's game. But if that's critical and essential to your passing game, just having that type of action behind the line of scrimmage to throw off the reads of the linebackers, well, then that's important. So I'm just asking people to consider the bigger picture when looking at why these players may be performing or underperforming, and just budget or kind of, you know, deal with things appropriately. I think Ronald Jones is a bargain right now. Go get him. Go get him at the end of this first round. People are letting him drop all the way. I say you go get him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a draft right now, and he just fell to pick 15. I mean, that was never going to happen 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. This was a guy who was in consideration in the top 5 or top 6. You know, so it does show you how much the preseason and training camps do impact, you know, rookie drafts that are late, you know, late in the summer. And that's a perfect example of one. So let's take this over to the wide receiver position. Let's start out with the bad first, and that's injuries. You know, Deion Kane was looking really impressive. He's a guy that me and you liked a lot. We were stunned when we saw him fall as far as he did in the NFL draft, but he was looking really good in training camp. There was a lot of positive buzz, you know, and then unfortunately he suffered a season-ending injury just recently as today. Baltimore put Jalil Scott on IR, so he's going to be out the season as well. If we look at some of the guys who, you know, I think have been performing, you know, the wide receiver position, who we didn't think was as strong as the running back position, has actually had a lot of guys, you know, really step forth and I think can make an immediate impact in the different a variety of roles this year. You got Calvin Ridley. I think he's going to push to be a starting wide receiver in Atlanta this year. I think he's going to be in for a really good productive season playing alongside Julio Jones in that offense. You know, Ridley's looked really good. That precise route runner, able to get vertical, win on all three levels of the field. DJ Moore has been playing with the backups for mostly at Carolina, but he has shown his ability to make things happen after the catch. So we knew he had that in his repertoire. It'll be interesting to see how quickly he emerges in that receiving corps. I think he's at least going to be in the mix in the top three, probably as soon as week one, but he we'll see. He hasn't been playing a ton of, you know, first team reps with the pass offense there in Carolina. Christian Kirk is pushing his way to be a starter in Arizona. You know, Larry Fitzgerald is obviously going to man the slot a lot, so Kirk is going to have to show his versatility a little bit and play outside, and only really when they go 4 wide and maybe they have 2 guys inside, you know, you'll see Kirk inside, because that's really where Fitzgerald makes his living nowadays. But Kirk has showed that ability that, you know, made me want to comp him to Randall Cobb. He's had some big return plays as well in the special teams, which we knew he had. James Washington has probably looked as good as any rookie wide receiver. And why? Matt, it goes back to that elite trait that we said he had, that ball tracking, the ability to go up and get it, that vertically down the field. He's been making plays like that at the catch point, using that ball tracking ability, using that my ball mentality. Washington has made a lot of plays. I think he's immediately going to be on the field in 3 wide receiver sets. And I think he's going to surprise people on how quickly, you know, he's a productive NFL player and the sneaky value even at times in terms of fantasy. I know his upside is definitely limited and curtailed with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith there. That is 100%. And that's the only reason why he's going mid, you know, the late second round in you know, dynasty rookie drafts that are still taking place is because of that upside down the line. But in terms of his ability and what he's shown, I mean, he's probably been shown the most skill of any of these wide receivers. Anthony Miller's another one that has looked fantastic for Chicago, and he's pushed his way to probably be a starting slot wide receiver as soon as this year for them. I think he's going to be a big part of it. Cortland Sutton's looked really impressive. He's going to be on the field a lot in three wide receiver sets, and they're going to kick Emmanuel Sanders inside. He could have a much bigger impact in year one than I thought. Same thing with Michael Gallup. I think he's going to be a starter for Dallas. I know he's a guy that you really liked his overall game. You know, all of those guys are probably going to be starters, and then guys that are going to be in the mix as third or fourth wide receivers this year. I think Dante Pettis is going to be on the field for San Francisco as a third or fourth wide receiver in a complementary role, you know, and maybe down the line he takes over for Pierre Garçon. Antonio Callaway has looked really good when he suffered a little bit of an injury, so he missed a week or so, but he's really looked impressive. That if they don't go out and sign Dez Bryant, I think he could push to be the third wide receiver this year. So I think you could see Callaway on the field a lot this year in that role. Tre'Quan Smith at New Orleans showing the ability to get vertical. You know, right now Cam Meredith hasn't really done much since coming back off his injury, so Tre'Quan Smith's been heavily involved. DJ Chark, now with the injury to Marquise Lee, is going to probably play in some three wide receiver or definitely four wide receiver sets for Jacksonville as that vertical threat. You know, a lot of really intriguing guys. I didn't even bring up the Green Bay guys that right now are a little bit behind the eight ball there. I don't think we're going to see much from the Green Bay trio of wide receivers that were drafted, but a lot of intriguing guys there. Matt, is there one or two that you kind of want to expand upon that kind of have you excited?
Go get Michael Gallup.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got a capability.
Professional guys, he's going to be a professional.
Yes,
and I'm not saying what I'm saying to you about that, and I don't mean it. I don't know him from a hole in the wall, right? We don't know it, but I mean by professional is I mean that I don't give a damn what system we're talking about. He is going to execute on the football field, and for that reason, I think he's going to be viable for a long time. So what I'm saying is he's safe money. He may not be the best investment. He may not have the highest yield, but he's a guy that I think rock solid every week. You could see him put up like 6 for 54 and then add a touchdown. That could be it. That could be who he is at a minimum. You know, 6 receptions, 54 yards and a touchdown. I could see him be that guy.
He could easily be a guy that could catch 60 to 70 passes this year for 800, 900 yards and like 6 to 8 touchdowns. And if that is, he's a wide receiver three in fantasy this year.
What about Auden Tate, though? Everybody's, you know, keep Auden Tate. The Auden Tate watch and the candle that we burn for him here at Saturday, Sunday looms lightly. I say it once and I say it again. His special trait was being able to go up and get the football. Literally, his body control in the air was elite. His ability to catch the football outside his frame and adjust was elite. And I don't throw around the elite terminology very often because I think it's very rare to say that something is elite. I do believe he's elite in that respect, and he has shown that so far this year. So let's see how they leverage him and where they use him. I think he's a red zone weapon day one, and I stand by what I said. Would you draft a guy on your fantasy team that could give you 8 touchdowns, 600 yards, and 40 receptions? Would you take him?
Yeah. Of course. Tip of the cap to you, another guy who's really looked impressive. Javon Wims from Georgia with the Bears.
I really love Javon Wims.
Everything that you liked about him and everything that you discussed about him, he was shown.
In Georgia, every Georgia game, the man was making catches over people's heads, around their body, contorting his body midair. He was phenomenal in Georgia.
Yeah, and he, you know, again, he's mostly been doing it with the second and third string guys, but you know what? He has still shown his ability, you know, and I think he's squarely someone who has the ability, you know, to eventually push his way into that crowded depth chart there that they have there, which, you know, is crowded, you know, with the guys they signed this year, you know, and maybe we finally see Kevin White do a little something, you know, but Javon Wims is a guy, keep on the back of your radar. If you play in super deep dynasty leagues with a big taxi squad, guys like Auden Tate, guys like Javon Wims, get him, put him there, and just kind of wait it out a little bit. You know, I think it's going to be intriguing to see. The Baltimore, Jordan Lasley has really struggled a little bit, and Richie James has made some plays for the 49ers. Again, another crowded depth chart there. Late round pick. Can he push his way into the mix down the line there? A couple other guys of note. And then real quick at the tight end position, not a lot to talk about. Hayden Hurst was looking really good, but he suffered an injury. He's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks. But I do think when he comes back, he's going to be heavily involved as their clear starting tight end in Baltimore. So I think he's someone to squarely have on your radar. Mike Gesicki's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. I don't think that's that surprising. I think we talked about him as a guy that, yeah, he wasn't as pro ready as a guy like Evan Ingram, there was maybe going to be a little bit of a developmental and adjustment period for a guy like Gesicki. To be honest with you, a tight end that's looked the best, Dallas Goedert, which, you know, coming from a small school like that is no easy task. And he is immediately shown that upside, you know, that when I see him, gives me some Travis Kelce vibes. Mm-hmm. And I understand people are down on the landing spot. Philadelphia, he's got to wait out Zach Ertz. You know what? They might run a lot of two tight end sets. Alshon Jeffrey's going to start the year, you know, missing a couple games. Nelson Agholor is not healthy. I'm not going to be surprised if Goddard's on the field a lot more than we expect. And he might even have some tight end two value a lot sooner than we expect and tremendous upside. Besides that, Ian Thomas has shown why that he was a steal to start the fourth round. And besides that, not a lot of other noise. We'll keep a close watch on Christopher Herndon, who might start for the Jets. Does Mark Andrews do anything in Hayden Hurst's absence? There's Jordan Akins as a top 100 pick, push his way onto the field for the Texans. You know, those are some other guys we'll be following closely. Matt, any thoughts here on the tight end position before we call it a night?
No additional thoughts. And I think I just want to take the first to say thank you, everybody out there, for kind of listening tonight. We really hope you enjoyed kind of this new flavor of show. This was our first time through it. This is something we've been talking about for a while. You know, we really hope that this is going to be able to paint you a picture of the players and the situations and the dynamics that will really what the things that we're looking for to move the needle on our evaluations. We're hoping that we can share those moments with you, discuss those matchups with you, and really keep it player focused, not story arc focused, but player focused. And that's really our kind of task for this upcoming year. And as always, I really appreciate it, because I know that, you know, me and Paul, like, we're learning as we go. We're always studying. We're always trying to expand our understanding. Nothing we're saying is gospel here or word. We're saying, you know, what we feel and what we think is happening. And we're being authentic with you as we can. And we just want to share this passion with you. And this is how we enjoy the football game. So thank you. And here's to a wonderful season. And we're excited to share the ride.
Yeah, and we thought Around the Country was just the perfect name, because we are really going to go around the country looking at football prospects at all levels. You know, NFL, the rookies, like we just finished up talking about here. The guys we started with, the draft eligible prospects. We're going to hit the underclassmen prospects. We're going to hit some high school prospects. So we thought it was a perfect name, Around the Country, and keep the focus on prospects, on film analysis, on player development, the things that we love and cater to. You know, here at Saturday, Sunday, and cover these guys from, you know, as they're entering college, as high schools and the recruitment process, straight through to their rookie season in the NFL here. So we think, you know, it's going to be a better, more exciting episodes to really dig in and get more information than just this was the score, this was the box score. You know, these are the games this week.
There are better programs for that. They're just better programs that are going to give you more story than us. That just, we just know, I know we can't do that to the level that others can.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to stick to what we do, and that's player talk, prospect talk, player, you know, development, watching these guys and breaking down traits and characteristics that make up these players, you know, throwing some fantasy spins from time to time, you know, and we're just excited for this. So on behalf of Matt, on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, and myself, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the first real week of college football season, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.